There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Indeed it is. Now that's weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, and we're in the second hour of the show. My guest is Dr. Bradford Frank, and he's just on the outskirts of New York talking to us live about bird flu and just how dangerous this is or could be. Now, Dr. Frank, what are the symptoms of bird flu in humans? What should people look out for?
Well, Ross, the symptoms in humans are the same as the regular flu. People start with a fever and a cough, and they can also develop a nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, malaise, that's not feeling well, muscle aches.
No, obviously they shouldn't panic if they get these symptoms, because it might just be the ordinary flu.
At this point, chances are overwhelming that it's just the ordinary flu.
We're still having a few problems with that phone line there, but hopefully you can hear us okay at the other end of this. Now, with bird flu, obviously people are going to panic. They're going to think the worst. But this strain still hasn't yet become an air contagious strain of the flu, has it?
No, it has not. And it is virtually impossible to get it from humans at this point.
Now, they say that it will transmute into a human-to-human virus. Are they sure of that, or is this just a worst-case scenario?
Well, unless you're God, you can't, you know, with 100% confidence predict the future. However, short of that, yes, it is very likely that this is going to transmute into a form that's easily transmissible human-to-human. That's virtually certain, although it is clearly uncertain when that's going to happen. It could happen literally tomorrow, or it could not happen for 5 years from now. Odds are that it's going to be happening in the next couple of years.
Now, this is the thing that people need to know, isn't it, really? This started in the Far East, and it's taken a while to spread across to us in Europe and probably eventually to you over there in the States. But it's going to be probably some time before the mutated virus works its way across from probably the same origins, I would have thought.
Well, Russ, it's hard to say. It could start, for example, tomorrow in China. The problem is that once it becomes transmissible from human to human, people will get on airplanes and, of course, travel around to the major cities across the world, and so it can become transmitted in a global pandemic literally in a matter of weeks.
Now, how soon do you think, obviously, we were thinking it would have been in the UK a lot sooner than it was, but how soon are you expecting it to arrive in the USA?
They have predicted, I think, with relative confidence, that it's going to be in Canada and possibly in Alaska any time, that is to say in the spring, with the migration of wild birds. And from there, it will, of course, be transmitted throughout the United States and then on into the remainder of North America.
Now, how worried are they over there in the States? Is there the same sort of panic about it as there is here in the UK?
People are starting to get more concerned, but I would say, you know, the closer you are to the actual, to, you know, the birds getting sick in whatever country and dying, the more worried you are. And so over here, there's still quite a bit of, people are mostly calm about it. There's not a lot of panic. And I think that's because, again, it's across the ocean. It's not here. It's something that we don't have to worry about. And that's, I think, human nature, that people, you know, the closer that there's a problem, the more people worry about it. And this is still across the ocean. So people are not very concerned about it here, except, of course, for the government and the city officials and so forth.
Now, one of the worrying things here yesterday was that all of our news crews went straight up to Celadyke in Scotland as soon as they heard about this, and we had outside broadcast vans and satellite dishes everywhere up there. Now, there was a case, I believe, in another country where the news crews actually spread the virus. Do you think this is a real danger?
I don't think that's a real danger. It would be quite difficult to spread the virus through that mechanism. The biggest risk is through migratory birds, because some of these birds actually can travel 1,000 miles without landing, and so it's very easy for them to transmit the virus huge distances.
Indeed. Now, I've got an email coming for you from Nita Grant in Berkshire here in England. She says, do you think that the government are deliberately scaring us with this terrible death percentages they keep quoting?
No, I don't think the government is trying to scare people. I think just the reverse. I think that, it is a very scary virus just because of the way it is. I think typically governments are tending to actually downplay the seriousness of the situation. And you've seen that through news and press releases across the globe, that where governments will say, you know, we're fully prepared, we have the situation under control, when in fact that's not the case at all. You'll see once this pandemic starts that there will be total panic across the globe.
I think you're probably right. Now, obviously, there's a lot of advice on your website about what people can do. Give us the website address again so that people can get on there and have a look at what you've suggested.
Sure. It's avoidbirdflu.com. AvoidBirdFlu.com.
Avoidbirdflu.com. Now, there's a link as well from our website at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, Dr. Frank, who would you say is most at risk from this if it does start to transmutate to humans?
Russ, that's a very, very important question. And we know from the pandemic of 1918 and actually the SARS pandemic of 2003 that it's actually healthy young individuals who are more at risk. If you pay close attention to the current news reports about deaths in humans from the bird flu, you'll see that it's actually mostly children and young individuals. And this is a very curious thing and very different than the normal seasonal influenza, where it's typically the elderly and the infirm that succumb to the virus. And the reason that young people are affected, it's thought that either number one, because they have absolutely no immunity to any virus like this, but even more likely, it's because of their strong immune systems that where they actually fight the virus off and create almost an autoimmune response where the body itself is so heavily attacking the virus that it accidentally attacks some of its own tissues and creates this terrible problem and deadly pathology in the lung.
Now, this is another thing I heard on the news here yesterday when the outbreak was announced in Scotland, was that this is actually quite a hard-to-catch virus because it does attack the lung. It's not something that's easily just sort of breathed in, even when it does transmutate. It's something that's actually quite hard to catch. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. And, you know, it's a curious fact. And I must say that modern science, no matter how far advanced, we still don't understand everything. For example, we still don't understand some of the mysteries surrounding the SARS pandemic. But you're right about what you just said. That is absolutely correct. And it's a curious fact that there are many hundreds and thousands of individuals who have been involved across the globe in culling or collecting these birds and you know, killing them so that they can't transmit the virus further. But most of those individuals have not caught the virus, so it's not that readily transmissible, even from birds to humans.
Now, I've got another email in. It's part of the I've missed part of this out from Nita Grant. It's the second part of her email, and it actually says Nostradamus said that blood would spread from the east and bring a death to the world. Strange, that, isn't it?
Well, it is strange, and Nostradamus is you know very well. Seemed to be very prophetic in a lot of things that he talks about. This certainly is a virus that is going to bring death and destruction across the globe. And let me also say that, again, there have been these pandemics. A pandemic is nothing more than an epidemic, a spreading of an infection around the world. And, of course, we know that pandemics have occurred for as long as history has been recorded, including these viral bird flu-type pandemics, the Black Plague, and so forth. So that these periodically come around the world, and we are overdue for one.
Now, when bird flu comes, obviously they're going to quarantine areas the same as they've done in Scotland, and I would imagine the same thing will happen in the States. But how are the quarantine areas going to work? How are they going to keep this? Because let's face it, birds fly everywhere. You're not going to be able to quarantine wild birds, surely.
Yes, and quarantine is something that everyone is concerned about. And I know that the people in the United States are very concerned about this and their civil liberties potentially being violated, especially after President Bush said that he wanted the military to be involved in such a situation. But quarantines, and what will happen is if the pandemic, and they're expecting this pandemic to start from the east, from China, for example, it could be Thailand, Vietnam, whatever, and from there to spread around, as soon as it becomes obvious that the virus has become easily transmissible from person to person, let's say in Asia, countries around the world are going to close their borders to anyone coming from those countries. Anyone en route from China, let's just use that as an example, in an airplane would be immediately quarantined for, say, 1 to 2 weeks. And I know in the United States, for example, that the government has set up more quarantine centers near airports, so that some people would be quarantined. But I think to get to the heart of your question is, you know, once it becomes a pandemic, a virus that's spreading like the flu in the normal population, how are they going to quarantine people? And my answer to that is, well, it'll be virtually impossible to do so. So in very short order, quarantines will be a non-issue because the virus will spread past any quarantine that is set up.
Indeed. Now, you say about George Bush and the military there. I hope he's not going to declare war on the bird population.
Right. Right, knowing George Bush.
You never know, do you? Now, Tracy in Scotland writes to me. She says, I'm 50 miles away from where the dead swan was found, and I need to know facts here. Out of 1,000 people catching bird flu, how many would Dr. Frank expect to survive?
Well, of course, first of all, you know, you're far away from the swan, and so really humans don't need to be concerned about this unless you happen to see a dead bird on your lawn, and you certainly wouldn't want you or your children to go out and start playing with the bird or get the bird and try to cook it and so forth. That would be that would put you most at risk. Apart from that, your risk is really very, very small. Once this virus becomes transmissible from person to person, it's expected that around 30% of the population on a global basis will become infected. Of those, about 2.5% are expected to die, given the statistics from the 1918-1919 pandemic, the so-called Spanish influenza. So on a statistical basis, once this becomes transmissible from person to person, it's really in full swing, your risk of dying is less than 1%.
Well, actually, that's not quite as bad as they made it out to be then, is it? So the chances there, I think, Tracy, are that you're going to be fine. I shouldn't worry too much about it just yet. Now, my guest in this part of the show is Dr. Brad Frank, and he is in New York, New York State, in America. He's talking to us about bird flu. If you want to send an email for Dr. Frank, just send it in to me. That's info, I-N-F-O, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's info at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, after the break, Dr. Frank, I want to come back and talk to you about the effect on other animals, because there's been a few scares with regards to cats who play and catch birds. So we'll be talking about that right after these words.
Do you see ghosts? Do you hear voices? Come find out. Join our professional team in a most haunted style paranormal investigation. Enjoy the excitement of the unknown, practice the ancient art of dowsing, and take part in vigils, seances, and divining exercises. Expect the unexpected. Experience the unexperienced. It's an encounter that will not be forgotten. Haunting Breaks, the ultimate activity break. Visit our website at hauntingbreaks.co.uk or phone our friendly team on 01686 420 301. Beware.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh God, this phone's never gonna stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show, Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, If you could bring me up to speed on...
Now that's weird.
Hi, this is Ross Hemsworth. Now That's Weird is one of the fastest growing paranormal programs on the airwaves. And you can advertise on this show right now. Just send an email to info@phantomorfraud.com. That's info@phantomorfraud.com. And we'll discuss ways to promote your business live on the show. We're syndicated worldwide, so it's not just in the UK, it's all over the world. Get your message across now. info@phantomorfraud.com.
Scoob, I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Get interactive. Email studio@nettalkradio.co.uk or text 85010. Type the word studio and then your message.
Now That's Weird.